The Hypnotic Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch from his No Blue Thing album says it's 10 o'clock on a frosty Thursday night and time to snuggle with someone or your blankie. So what's your story on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM, the coolest place on your dial where we spotlight every kind of storyteller from starters to stars who share at least one thing in common. Each is an exceptional person who takes us on a meaningful, sometimes even fanciful journey with impressive stories from moving personal narratives to enchanting folktales, and then return us safely to the present. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubichek, professor of communication at the University of Houston downtown, along with Roxy Russell, charged with working the board and stepping in just a bit. You know, our supporters, you are awesome, helping us to stay afloat with your generous donations during the past 3 weeks of our winter drive. You know, storytelling is the art that unites human beings better than any magic on earth, and it's going to continue to be a force in Houston thanks to you. And, you know, I've said this so many times that everyone is a storyteller. Even those who don't believe they have the skill or the ability to use words is storytellers. My guest teller this evening has no trouble with words. She is, however, a person who didn't see herself as a storyteller until I pointed it out. However, she's not only an excellent storyteller, but fuels her powerful narratives with uncompromising courage and wisdom. Native Houstonian Kelly Lang is a recent graduate of the University of Houston downtown with a major in communication studies and is currently a corporate communication consultant specializing in social media. I also had the good fortune of having Kelly in two classes, and I'm thrilled she agreed to be here tonight and elated that she landed a job, kind of, which we'll find out in a moment. Her story is one that will keep you thinking and hoping and caring. It's a story she owns. It's hers, and she wants to make it partly ours, too. Kelly, so glad you're here, right?
Hi.
All right, you've been anticipating this. This has been the most exciting thing in your life.
It is. It absolutely is.
Right. Now, I sort of teased the audience just a moment ago by saying she has a job sort of.
I caught that.
You're self-employed, right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I didn't have time to do an internship, and I'm, you know, I'm blonde, but I'm not dumb, and I'm not one to sit around, so I just hit the pavement, and I just, you know, ask people that have companies, you know, hey, can I work for you? What can I do to make your company better? I've been looking at your social media, and I really think I can help you out, you know. Let's get it to where it needs to be. Let's work together.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you think people don't realize in terms of the power of social media? So, for example, what would you point out to Roxy and me about selling? So what's your story? What would be some questions that you'd ask me?
Oh, gosh. You know, I would want to talk to your listeners and see what they would think. I would want to hear what they think.
Well, we have no listeners. It's only us. There is no one. The only reason I bring my wife is so we're sure to have somebody to listen. Nobody really listens to this
it's
show.
It's not true.
Actually, no, it's not true at all.
I listen.
Thousands of people. That's right. You do listen. But talking to listeners really does, that really is important. You've got to make sure that the target listener is it. Absolutely. I want to make some comment about helping with social media in just a little bit as well. But, you know, one of my favorite books is entitled Letting the Wolf In by Elizabeth Ellis, who's the consummate storyteller. And it's a book that centers on telling the difficult story, you know, what makes it difficult and ultimately how to make that kind of a story tellable. And ownership, that word that I uttered just a few moments ago, is essential for telling the very difficult, very tough personal tale. And to own it is to internalize it. We learn to tell it in our own words. We use our own beat, our pulse. We're faithful to the spirit and meaning of the tale. And these types of storytellers trust themselves. They're truthful. And Kelly, I say this because I really do think that you are that kind of teller. One of the beautiful things about teaching at UHD, as you know, is that we really do have extraordinary students, seriously. And one of the wonderful things about my job is that I have an opportunity to get to know so many of you. And it's always amazing because we have professional tellers who come on the show. And sometimes they don't really have the spirit and the faithfulness to a story that they own. But you do. Right. And I'd just like you to tell us your story.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that. Well, being one of your students, I went home and listened to one of your podcasts with J.J. Simmons on her book, Without Bruises. Mm-hmm. After I thought about it, J.J.'s story inspired me to tell mine. I have bruises that I carry with me. I know what it's like to feel alone, abandoned, unloved, and like no one will understand. If anyone can use my story to ignite any sort of hope or empowerment to get through their darkness, I'm happy to share it. Mental, emotional, and physical abuse is something I have dealt with my whole life. My mother was manic depressive. As a child, I didn't understand why she did the things she did. There's support groups with people that have mental illnesses, but not for those who are impacted by it. So I didn't understand why she locked herself in the closet for days, screaming, why she tried to kill herself, why she was carried out of her house on a stretcher and taken away in an ambulance, why she flung herself down the stairs, crushing my tiny 5-year-old body at the bottom while my sister ran for help. I have scars on my knees from the glass that shattered when the picture frames on the wall came down with her. I would often just have to know that Mommy can't be with us because she's in the psychiatric ward right now. Just to give you a glimpse of the few things that were my norms growing up as a kid. So I became really good at hiding. I created spaces for myself that were my safe zones. I strung Christmas lights and glittery snowflakes under my bed, and I would lay there for hours dreaming I was really a princess like in the fairy tales I would read, and my real parents would come and find me and take me away from all of this. I would sneak out of my window and ride my bike to the end of the street and climb the biggest oak tree to watch the sunset and stay there until after the streetlights came on just to stare up at the stars. Growing up with her, I wondered all the time and I begged her, why can't you just be the mom I need you to be? Why can't you just be normal? I know the answer and that there isn't one all in the same. So I shove it down a little deeper and remind myself that when I have children, I will never do this to them. She was a mastermind manipulator. She knew that she wasn't the mother that she should be, and she would throw it in my face when I asked if she could participate in, you know, something normal, like coming to my high school graduation. She would tell me things like, it just must be so nice to be so perfect and know everything then, and I'm just a shitty mother, and you're the only reason I keep living my excruciating life. You have no idea what it's like, the torture inside my head. So sit down, sit here now, and tell me how much you hate me. Then later, she would turn around and be the best person in the world, and be everything I loved about her. She was the most magnetic person you'd ever meet. She'd swoop me up in a rush of love and shower me with presents and fun secret trips together, just us two. She made everyone she met feel like they were the most important person in the world. I've been in and out of therapy since I was 7. As a child, my mother would constantly tell me that she thinks that I have the same mental illness. She would beat me down with her words just to raise me back up. She would tell me I'm too skinny, too fat, that I didn't try hard enough, and that I was beautiful and smart and wonderful, and as long as I did my best, that's all she could ask for, and that she was proud. I just didn't know at the time that I was a kid and I hadn't had behavior modeled in a way to be able to express my anger or any emotions that was healthy. And I had a lot of anger and a lot of sadness. I never thought I was crazy, but, you know, when a crazy person keeps telling you that you are, you tend to question yourself. So I drank, I smoked, I starved myself, I made myself throw up. I swallowed pills prescribed to me to numb my pain. I screamed, I fought. And I was silent, and I acted like everything was okay. I went to college several times. I tried to go to Sam Houston State after I graduated high school in 2004. I couldn't cope at the time because my parents had just gotten a divorce. My mother abandoned me, and she left for Italy with some man. After I was always there for her, always there to wipe her tears and tell her she's okay, I was the physical barrier from her splatting on the floor at the end of the staircase. So I escaped into a man I dated. I went to SHSU, but I was so depressed, I took the remainder of my mother's sleeping pills and slept all day, missing class. I went home to him on the weekends, and he became my new hiding place. I guess he also recognized in me that I was scared, emotionally abused, and easily manipulated girl. I stopped going to school, I withdrew from SHSU, and spent every moment with him. I came over to his house one day and walked past the kitchen and quickly realized there was a table set for two with candles and a red jewelry box in the middle of a plate. I was so scared, I went to the bathroom and climbed out of the window, and I drove away. I knew somewhere deep inside of me something wasn't right with this relationship. I had no more friends. He was very controlling, and he basically wanted me to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen and to just be his wife. I knew I was too young to be married. I didn't want to be a mother yet, and I wanted something more for my life, so I kept driving. I drove, and I ended up getting a puppy. I went to my mom's downtown apartment where I had been staying, and he came over to talk about what had happened and act like he was understanding. He hated that I got a puppy. He said he couldn't have me love anything more than I loved him, which he told me after he broke her neck and smeared blood and feces all over the bed and the walls of the apartment, handing her limp body to me by her tiny head. I ran out of the apartment screaming, and he followed me outside and pushed me into the pool to stop my screams. He pushed me under. He pulled me up by my hair to tell me if I wasn't going to be with him, I wasn't going to be with anyone else. Distraught, I packed a small bag and left for California to be with my sister, who had already lived in a matchbox-sized apartment with two other girls while getting her master's. I spent a long time crying and severely depressed in her tiny room. My sister always has to have a plan, which she later instilled in me. So she told me to write a life plan of what I want and what I want to achieve. Starting small, I went back to community college, and I applied and went to Oklahoma State for 2 years. My family members that said that they would help me pay for my college reneged at the end of every semester, and I would have to beg and plead for them to pay my tuition. My mother would call me most of the days to tell me that she was selling her silverware, anything she can, to pay for my tuition, which was ridiculous, considering I came from a family with money, who all lived in an affluent area, and who paid for my sister to go to Smith and Pepperdine, no questions asked. I didn't understand why she was favored our whole lives, and I had literally had to beg for everything. I had to give up and come home to take care of my mother. Two of my aunts had passed away, and my mom was in and out of the psychiatric ward again after several attempts or threats of suicide. No one else could handle her or knew when she was taking her medication. I referred back to my life plan, and I was so ashamed that I had been through so much and I had deviated from it. I applied to the University of Houston downtown and started school again. This time, I had to make a promise to myself to make sure things would be different. I had to promise myself that no matter what, no one would be able to manipulate me, hurt me, or hold money over my head and stand in the way of my goals. I was not going to hide or run anymore. I was old enough at this point to apply for loans on my own without being dependent on my parents' income. I got a full-time job as a preschool teacher, and I made it a point to start their foundation with empowering the children to be who they are, to be brave, and always use their words to stand up for themselves. It had to be me to make the choice to go to school, to do better for myself, so I can create my own happiness and my own life. I had to make the choice to be on my own, to do things my way. The past has made me who I am today. I made the choice to be better than what had happened to me. It's scary leaving the comfort of what you know, even if it is abusive and unhealthy. It's what you know. For so long, I have felt like I've been running down this dark tunnel, not sure of when I'm going to reach the light at the end or even if there is an end. But I have to remind myself that there is an end, and it's what I make it this time. I have to use everything that I've been through, the good and the bad, to guide myself and my life from here on out and be better than that. My bruises will heal through the love that I show people and my determination.
Wow. Kelly, just take a breath for a moment. Just relax for just a moment. You are listening to guest teller Kelly Lang on So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston. I'm your host, Hank Rubicek, with Roxy Russell. Kelly, what compelled you to craft that story? What was it that said to you, I need to get this story down?
I've been listening to other people's stories mm-hmm. on your show.
Yeah.
And they've really helped me pull through a lot, especially recently when my mother passed away, and their ability to open up and share with everyone you know, and I just thought, I'm not alone. And if I can add to that list of people who've helped me, I would be so glad to help anyone out there.
So you crafted the story for other people, really?
Yes. Right?
Beautiful. Beautiful. And you mentioned J.J. Simmons. She was terrific from The Box, everybody. And she was just great. And she was so brave talking about her own level of abuse, which was just unfathomable, which she had gone through, no less than what you've experienced. How do you feel when you tell that story?
I just feel like, you know, it's just me. It's part of me. It's who I am, good and the bad.
And that's okay. That kind of self-discovery is fine, right? Mm-hmm. You defined it. You mentioned in your story that you wanted your mother to be something. What is it that you wanted her to be?
I just wanted her to be my mom. I just wanted her to be the one that who she was when, you know, she was loving and kind, and I would see everyone else's mom and how they would treat their children, and I just, it's like, what we're doing is not normal. Why can't we be normal?
Yeah, just want a normalcy. Roxy, what do you think? You were making some pretty incredible expressions back there.
I'm blown away at your courage to tell such a riveting story. You did a wonderful job, and you were very vivid in your details, which I feel is very hard with some of the stuff that you went through, and I don't want you to stop telling your story because, you know, I think our society is very big on, you know, physical abuse, and, you know, if you see something, say something, but also there's markers for mental abuse as well, and I think you're doing a great job telling your story, and I don't want you to stop because it's a very, very beautiful story.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you, Roxy. That was a beautiful thought. It really was, and you know, bravery does come from storytelling, and many people do have stories, and you're right. You heard a lot of stories, and we all have stories. You know, I have some myself, and you had asked me before the show whose concept was this the show and what is it all about, and it's about the interest that I have in finding out about people, and I think we all do innately. You know, I have had an awful lot of ups and downs and shifts and maneuvers and bumps in my road of life, and I've taken very hard journeys, and without getting into too much disclosure right now, mostly because of time more than anything else, in the late 1980s, I had a very difficult episode in my life in having a relationship with my son. And suffice it to say, it was really difficult. And there was a woman by the name of Kathleen Adams who wrote a book, and I have it right here, who wrote a book entitled Mightier Than the Sword. And she called me up at my office at UHD, and she said, you know, I understand that you are into journal writing. I understand that you interview people and that you tell stories and that you keep tabs of how you're feeling and you put them in narrative form. And I know about you because at the time I was the parent doctor on Ron Stone, which is way before your time. He had a wonderful daytime talk show. And I was also doing a number of workshops in town on parenting. And she said, I got a hold of some of your narratives, and I really would like to use them in this book that I'm writing, this Mightier Than the Sword. And I said, well, okay, it's not for publication, though. And she said, well, trust me, this is going to work. And she flattered me into it. And she wrote this book, and she took some of my entries, and it's in this book. And she sent me a round-trip ticket to Boulder, because at the time the book signing took place at a Borders bookstore. And I went, and I was in the stacks. With a non-fat vanilla latte, watching a guy about my age at the time, and he was reading me. He was reading my story. And this is one thing that he read. A very short poem that I had written. Strength can be tender. I remember just the evil side. I never knew strength could be gentle and caring until today. I did not know the heart is also strong. And I cried when he read that because I saw me. There's something that stories can do that connects the human condition. And I think that's exactly what you did today. And it was just a very beautiful story. I echo what Roxy said. You're absolutely right. And stories are truth. They really are. There's an old Yiddish proverb that reads, what's truer than truth? The story. And I think that speaks really very well to what you've said. You know, singer-songwriter Betsy Rose once said of difficult stories, there's an ocean of words that's caught in my throat, and I'm going to let loose the water and learn to float. Does this apply to you?
I believe so. Everyone always tells me, you know, Kelly, you're the strongest person I know. If anyone can get through any of this, you know, you're the one that can. And I don't particularly feel like I'm strong. I just feel like, you know, I got to keep going. I have to keep paddling and, you know, in the water, and I'm just not going to let myself sink into this. So I feel like it does apply.
What's the message that you're sending? I know there are several, but if you had to articulate a single message that you're sending in this story to our listeners, think about that. What is it that you want us to know?
I think my message is that you always have choices. You can choose to stop in your path and say, no, I'm not going to continue this. I will choose to be better. I will choose to make things better for myself, and I'm not going to choose anymore to do anything destructive or hurtful like has that things that have been modeled to me.
Right. Yeah. That's a beautiful thought. And we really do have choices, right? We sometimes don't take ownership. We think it's everybody else's fault. You made me do it, right? But that's not really the case.
We always have a choice. We
do have a choice. We're the ones who don't have to get angry. We're the ones who don't have to fight back. We're not the ones who have to hit, scream, yell, hurt, abuse. We don't have to do that.
Right.
We do have those choices, and that's beautiful. You know, when we talk about courage and we talk about fearlessness, I think that it's important to know that we hear those in stories more than anything else. Personal narratives that were shared by our grandparents and our grandparents' grandparents are the kind of stories that define us, and they're the kind of stories that validate our lives on so many different levels. But you know, the faceless people are all around, and Rossi's been kind of voiceless here in a moment. We're going to get to her in just a second, but just want to let our listeners know that they are enjoying So What's Your Story on 90.1 KPFT Houston and KPFT.org for those of you who prefer that avenue. You're listening to guest storyteller Kelly Lang. This is Dr. Hank and Roxy Russell. And Roxy is no faceless stranger, but she's been somewhat voiceless until now because I just haven't asked her anything. But she's about to tell us about the best storytelling venue in town, Roxy.
And it's an easy answer, Hank. Just get to the monthly story swap held by the Houston Storytellers Guild on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the St. Andrew's House, located at 1811 Heights Boulevard. And check out the Houston Storytellers Guild's website at www.HoustonStorytellers.org for all the fun happenings. And visit us, So What's Your Story, on Facebook for great story stuff, and please like us on your way out.
Yeah, thanks, Roxy. You know, speaking of Facebook, you posted some terrific articles about topics ranging from storytelling and wellness, storytelling and healing, and building a client base on the So What's Your Story Facebook page. And we just want everybody to know we've got a ton of information well worth checking out. And Roxy, we are back to Tip for the Teller. We've been away from that for a few weeks, and this is the segment when I pretend to know something about storytelling by answering a question sent in by one of our listeners. We've got some catching up to do, so what do we have tonight?
Well, Hank, Marty from Houston asks, Dr. Hank, recently a friend of mine referred to radio as an intimate medium. Is that true?
I mean, I don't know. Do you sleep with your radio? I'm not really sure what that is. I'm sorry I had to say that. Okay. Marty, if I understand what your friend means, the answer is absolutely. Consider radio hosts, tellers and journalists, announcers. Intimacy is really established with listeners who come together by tuning in, not by forming a physical cluster of people. The listener is alone, oftentimes in cars, sitting at desks, preparing a meal, packing bags, putting on makeup, getting dressed, trying to fall asleep. You get the idea. And the mindset of the radio personality is that you need to simulate through vivid imagery sort of a face-to-face session with the listeners, a face-to-face encounter. And we imagine real people and we try to anticipate their needs. We build trust by providing a pattern of consistent program quality and hopefully a lasting relationship, forming mutual loyalty and connection. And I hope that makes sense. That was an interesting question. I love these questions because, you know, you never really get a straightforward question. They're tough. I actually have to work at this volunteer job here, and I love every second of it. And I hope that helps, Marty. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for that great question. If you've got a question that you'd like me to give a ridiculous answer to, just like Marty, right? I'd like you to send them in. Roxy's going to tell you how to do it.
If you have a question for Dr. Hank or would like to be a guest on So What's Your Story, send your questions or type of story along with the theme you'd like to tell us to ruby.story@gmail.com. Now that's ruby.story@gmail.com, and we will get back to you.
Right. Thanks, Roxy. And when we talk about a theme, I just wanted to talk about what that means. Sometimes, you know, you've got a great story about a memory about Halloween, right? Okay, so we talk about that a little bit, and I might help you put that into a 4 to 6 minute segment, or maybe an 8 to 10 minute segment. The way we do stories here on the air is that we do 2 4 to 6 minute stories or 1 8 to 10 minute story, so we have time to banter and offer the necessary ID for the station. But if you have any help, and I want to say this because some of you have been writing in, and I can really do help you. I can help you craft a story so that you can take whatever memory you've got and we can put it in narrative form. We can sequence it. We come up with a beginning and a middle and an end, and I think that you'll be very happy with the results. So I just wanted to let you know. Thank you, Roxy. And also, we want to let our listeners know that we actually do get back to you, right? Well, what do you think? Huh? We're almost done here, Kelly. What are your impressions of this wonderful radio stuff, huh? How do you feel about this?
I love everyone here, Roxy. You're so
kind.
Thank
you
guys so much for having me. I appreciate it, and thank you for asking
me. Did she pay you to say that? Because she likes to bribe people.
I totally
did.
Did
you really? Yeah. But this is different. Is it different from what you thought?
No, actually.
What? You don't like the sophisticated stuff? It looks like one big Spencer Gifts in here, right?
No.
You don't like the lava lights and the red lamps, and you don't like the fact that the light bulbs are flickering? This is listener sponsored, right? And this is listener sponsored. Thanks to everybody out there. This kind of a station really rocks, and so do you. This was a fabulous, fabulous story. In upcoming weeks, we've got some wonderful, wonderful folks for you. We've got Ernie Turney. We've got Reverend Ernie Turney. That really is his name. It's not a nursery rhyme. That really is what he does for a living. And he is the reverend at United Methodist Church, Bering United Methodist Church, excuse me. And we've got some wonderful other things going on. We've got some kids from Johnson Middle School. We've got Andy Goss talking about Black Heritage Month. After all, you need a Jewish attorney to talk about Black heritage. I mean, that just seems to be the trend nowadays, and he's going to do that. He's been on before, and he's really wonderful. Now, I want everybody out there to know that you are tuning into a show that is very unique. We need to keep storytelling alive. We all know that. You keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. Scooter is up next with The Inner Side, another great program on the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day of your life and make it a habit to tune in every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. Be good to each other. I'm Dr. Hank reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Good night.